This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Raiders have a new quarterback. You heard of him?
Hello, handsome. Is that a 10-gallon hat?
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
They have ranches, and they've offered Jimmy Garoppolo free chickens for life.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Well, we found the difference between Derek Carr and Jimmy G being quarterbacks of the Las Vegas Raiders.
Earlier on the show, co-host of Good Morning Football, Kyle Brandt. Coming up from the CBS drama True Lies, actor Steve Howie. Plus, latest news and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show, third hour version of this show. We're here on a busy Wednesday. We're having a lot of fun here in Los Angeles, California. And this third hour is going to be a lot of fun as well. Steve Howie, who is in the... What would you call it? A reboot of True Lies or a reimagination of True Lies?
Yeah, reimagination. We all know the great movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Jamie Lee Curtis.
Tom Arnold, who's going to be appearing in the show.
And now it's going to be a series. I cannot wait for this.
Yes, absolutely.
One of my favorite movies.
True Lies was awesome.
Yeah. True Lies airs tonight every Wednesday at 10 Eastern on CBS.
I love the way you say that.
Well, I mean, that's just the way Nance says it. So... speaking of Nance, we just reimagined our brackets from the Sweet 16 to cutting down nets. Well, most of us did. TJ already had, he still has three of his final four alive in the brackets, including the national champion. You had UCLA the whole way.
I did.
I've been so terrible. I apologize to everyone I just picked.
You're never good at this. You realize that, right?
Picking a bracket?
Yeah.
Never.
Pretty terrible. Yep. We used to have the loser of the Rich Eisen Show competition wear clown makeup.
Four in a row. Buffalo Bills it.
My kids still remember that. Is Brockman wearing the clown makeup this year? My kids still remember that.
Well, we used to have people walking around outside, and I would put on a sandwich board that says, I have March Sadness, and I would ask them to give me a hug.
That is true. I have March Sadness. We gave you, and Eric Stone Street was livid over the way made you up. He actually gave us instructions.
Yep.
On how to properly apply makeup for a clown makeup. He was livid.
I think I had a balloon one year.
He was legitimately upset.
Yeah, he was very mad. He's like, you guys are, you're like not even coming close.
He told me that one year and I thought he was joking.
No.
And then we did it again. And then he called up. He goes, if you don't call me next year to tell you how to apply clown makeup, we're going to have a problem.
He was really upset.
Yeah, he was legit irate.
Fizbo was ready to come here and get very upset.
Yes.
So, if you missed the first 2 hours, great conversation with Kyle Brandt of Good Morning Football and Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk. This show re-airs on the Roku channel as soon as we're done. There's also our podcast version of the show, all 3 hours through the Cumulus Podcast Network. It's available wherever you get any podcast, Apple, Spotify, and so on and so forth. We're watching the pro day activity of CJ Stroud in front of many scouts and in front of the entire Carolina Panthers staff and ownership group. I mean, my goodness, they're all there. So, and then everybody moves down to Tuscaloosa for tomorrow's pro day in Alabama. So that's what's up right there. Before Steve Howie comes out here in our third hour, let's take this phone call of our friend Jeff in Detroit, who's been hanging on for quite some time. What's up, Jeffrey? How you been?
What's going on, fellas? How's everything?
Yes. What's going on,
man? Brother?
Oh, man, listen, you know, I'm wondering, did I enter into Bizarro World? Because I know what it is to have a suckish quarterback. And I can't understand why they just can't get the Lamar deal done. I mean, somebody that's 700%, 49 wins, 12 losses or something like that. Dude is a monster. And another thing. Is the most Lions thing in the world is you take a rusher. 17, I wanted to call in so bad. I'm glad you guys re-air on the Roku channel. But the only thing is I can't call. Man, I was going to call you at 5 o'clock yesterday. Mm-hmm. I'm like, man, he hit the nail on the head. Why get rid of Jamal? 17 touchdowns, 1,000 yards. We haven't seen numbers like that since Barry Sanders. And the first thing they do is get rid of him. My thinking is this, and this is just me. This the offense had grown. The offensive coordinator is coming back. The whole scheme is coming back. Don't mess with it if it's not broke.
Let me just counsel here, Jeff, because you've been a fan of this show and you've been calling in for 8 years, and I feel I owe it to you. Okay, you're a good man. Mm-hmm. You call in here. I believe we've had a rapport. We even have an on-screen graphic for when you call. You're one of our favorites. It sounds like to me you have what I have, which is the scars. The scars of years of being let down. The scars of years of thinking the corner's finally turned only to have a trapdoor open on you.
Knowing what it is.
I get
knowing it. Exactly what it is.
And sometimes you gotta see what's happening staring you in the face. What would you say the last time things looked good? Jim Caldwell was the coach and Stafford was there,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
And then before that,
any type of hope around here.
And then before that, what would you say before that? Would you have to go back to Wayne Fonts? I'm serious. I'm not joking. You know, I don't know when you'd have to go back. So I might be missing a portion of the restore the roar belief and hope part of your world.
And help me do this one real quick.
Yes.
We were kicking it around the barbershop. Outside of Matthew Stafford, name me one quarterback that the Detroit Lions have had that was worth mentioning.
And I hear you, but you currently have a quarterback that's been to the Super Bowl.
Oh, I love Jared Goff. I love
you.
I'm
have a quarterback.
Him. I'm just scared. I'm loving the way that everything is worked out for him.
Absolutely.
He was a very unexpected pleasure.
Absolutely.
And
he's been to the Super Bowl. And you've got a guy that if you do start going on a playoff run, you know, who's if I'm not mistaken, has won a playoff game in Lambeau Field.
Wants to be here
and wants to be there and didn't look at being traded away by the Rams as a being sent to football prison and you have a coach and some coaches and you've got some ballers and they are a team that I believe in now. And again, I know I don't wear the scars.
I know I've been
sat there in an empty Silver Dome. You know, back in the 90s, and I was able to pick my seat when the Jets came in with an equally terrible team. So you and I have similar situations. I like what's being built there. I think they're going to add more players in the draft. I understand that you're wondering, what are they doing with Jamal Williams? But David Montgomery, I think, can score from the spots where Williams scored from. And I think you're going to be in good shape. And I just wanted to give you that verbal hug.
Thank you. I needed that. Honestly, I needed that. I know that you have an NFL mind. You're around it. You sniff it. You drink it. You eat it. I come to you for my NFL information. So I know with that coming from you, I can feel a little bit better. Because I know if it gets bad, guess what? You just be pulling the couch out and I'll be back laying on it. But I'm hoping that it doesn't come to that.
Thank you,
I'm
Jeff.
I'm hoping that we can call and talk about victories that we get, not getting you. Oh, my goodness. I can't wait for this season to come up, man.
There you go. Thanks for the call. That's Jeff in Detroit. Our segment talking about the Lions clanked around the internet tubes last night.
You're officially on board.
I am officially on board. I have a seat in the Lions bandwagon. And unfortunately for you Lions fans, I had a seat on the Las Vegas Raiders bandwagon at this very point. Maybe what should I every year hop on somebody's bandwagon in March?
Agree.
Every year?
Great idea.
That's a new tradition, any other. By unlike any other, no one else is doing it. It's not like it's a singular experience.
Good luck, Lions fans, because it did not go well.
Let me just say one more thing here about, you say something about Rodgers and the Jets and the Packers. People still talk about leverage. And every single day that this thing doesn't get handled, it's still about leverage. Jets fans are not up in arms. We're not up in arms. I'm not up in arms. You know what I would be up in arms? If training camp hits and he's not there. And now suddenly we're missing some real key moments. That's when the pressure, I think, starts to build for the Jets. Because what are they going to do? Start the season with Rodgers having no practice time? No, nothing with his teammates other than whatever camp Rodgers he might be able to do? If that's what the Packers are really waiting for real? I mean, we heard Florio say June 1. After that, the Packers can save money if they trade Rodgers. I almost said Favre because it just reminds me of the same damn thing over again. Okay, Is that when the deadline is? Is that when the deadline is? Because to me, I'm fine with that. I'm fine with June 1 being a deadline. Rodgers, you don't have to show up to OTAs. Don't worry. Let me get those reps to Zach Wilson. Give those reps to Zach. Happy to have that. Because that's the whole idea that Rodgers is coming. He's a bridge quarterback. Right? That's the whole plan here. Jets don't want to give up on Zach just yet. Let him learn from Rodgers. Let him get into the system of Nathaniel Hackett. Let's go. Great. Let him get those reps. Oh, and all those draft choices that we don't have to then give up for Rodgers that the Jets can use in this year's draft? Great. Use them. Love it. I'm all in on that too. So the Jets use their draft choices, get reps for Zach Wilson. Rodgers doesn't have to show up to offseason workout programs. He can just have Lazard and everybody else to wherever he wants. Malibu, Oregon, wherever he wants to have his time. You know what he should also do? He should spend his time if the Packers don't make the maneuver monetarily for him, because it might be that, might not be draft compensation, might not be what the Jets and the Packers are talking about, might be some sort of standoff between Rodgers and the Packers that we're completely unaware of right now. And if that's what that is, you know what Rodgers should do? He should take a trip. Springtime in Wisconsin is beautiful. He should take a trip. If he's somebody that doesn't appear to bristle at awkwardness, if he does not appear to bristle at that, doesn't mind creating an awkward situation, doesn't mind creating something that gets people talking, potentially negative about him, if that sort of stuff does roll off his back, you know what would be a good thing to do? Right around post-draft when everybody's showing up and the rookies and it's Jordan Love's time to start taking over the program. Showing up. Show up. Just want to see what's going on around here. I'm gonna show up in my locker.
Hey, and
the time to walk in, you know what would be the great time to walk in? Great time to walk in would be right in the middle of a press conference being held by the general manager of the team.
Wow.
Just like Jimmy Chitwood walked in when they were all in Hoosiers.
But they were firing the coach.
Bounce the coach.
Right? Yeah.
No, just show up.
A little different.
Just show up. Created a stir. Stand in the back of the room. I'm here. Oh, and everybody, once you're done talking to the GM, I'll be in my locker. Just hanging out. Packers open the door to that if they keep it waiting too, don't they?
Wow.
Just an idea. Just spitballing. Jeez. Throwing it in the direction of who's got leverage. Look, this thing is going to happen. The Packers are not going to spend $60 million of their money and hand it to Aaron Rodgers because he's still there on September 1st. That is not happening. We all know it. Everybody knows it. And we all know that the Jets are not going into the season with Zach Wilson as their week one quarterback in September 1. We know that too. And the person that they are going to have as their quarterback is Aaron Rodgers. The sooner we get to that point, I think for everybody is better. But the longer that, if you want to talk about Jets have no leverage in this, I just kind of laid it out for you what their leverage is. That's their leverage. Now, if the Packers want to play it out and it's now August 1.
Then you're starting to.
Do they really want to go down that road? Do they really want to go down that road? Because that's the road that if you're slow playing it now and you're willing to blow off your draft choices in this year's draft. Okay. Got it. Maybe they want to wait till after the draft. Because if it is a sliding scale of if the Jets make the Super Bowl, then this is now, instead of a 4, it's a 1.
Right.
And if the Jets make this, then instead of a 4, it's a 2. Oh. And if Rodgers plays another year, then instead of a 4, it's a 3. You can't really do that in this year's draft because the draft choices are fixed.
True.
So maybe that's what it is, too.
Let's not use fixed. Let's use their set. Place.
They're set in place in stone, like apparently everybody in this conversation is right now.
Stoned?
No, yeah. Set in stone. Oh. TJ.
So we're talking about Laramie Tunsil again. My bad.
I'm saying to everyone, this is going to happen. And if they are going to start messing with Rodgers and the Jets long enough, Wisconsin in May is a great time of year to visit that beautiful state of our union.
Look at you stirring stuff up.
I'm not. I'm just talking about options. Wow. Let's take a break. Steve Howie is here on the Rich Eisen Show in person. He's already been out, so he knows what the set looks like, and we can't wait to have a chat with him and talk about TJ's best friend, Ashton. That's coming up next. Hey, folks, it's time for the NFL draft, which means for me, I need a good night's sleep, because if I don't have one, I'm just not myself. You know the deal. You know exactly how important it is to have quality sleep. It's a game changer for all of us. So Sleep Number helps me. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's setting is 70. We both get a great night's sleep because we could adjust the firmness of our mattress on each side. Improve your quality sleep because Sleep Number learns how you sleep thanks to their smart beds and provide personalized insights to help you sleep better. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Back here with our terrestrial radio outfit along with Sirius XM and Odyssey. We just saw a clip of True Lies that airs tonight every Wednesday as well at 10 p.m. Eastern on CBS. Steve Howie is here. It is wild to see True Lies like existing, man. It's pretty cool.
What a phone call to get. Because
walk me through it. What'd you get?
So Anthony Hemingway, great director, producer, he directed some episodes of Shameless. He says, I'm directing this show. You got to do it. I said, what is it? He said, it's True Lies. I said, from the movie?
Like the True Lies, right?
Yeah. Schwarzenegger?
Yeah.
James Cameron? Tom Arnold? Jamie Lee Curtis?
Yes.
You know, Oscar award winning. Jamie Lee Curtis.
Indeed. By the way, I would have given her the Oscar from her work in True Lies, by the way.
Oh, my God. Yes, absolutely.
Yes.
From all the scenes.
Correct.
And then
One in particular as well.
Exactly. That's the one I'm talking about.
That's the Shameless from me. I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt you. So the phone call's happening and what happens?
So I said, what, the Tom Arnold role? And he said, no, the Schwarzenegger role. And I went, what? but careful what you wish for, because I've always wanted to shoot the gun, punch the guy, kiss the girl, crack the joke.
Yeah.
And I get to do that in this, you know, so.
Great.
Yeah. And the cast is great. Ginger Gonzaga is amazing. Matthew Lillard, who you saw in the clip, he was phenomenal, helped boost our energy. Used to ball with him back in the day with the NBA E-League.
And is it true that that Tom Arnold is going to show up?
Tom Arnold, yes. And he was awesome. How cool, so funny, that? So cool. And, you know, it's really cool that your best performance is like a blockbuster hit action flick directed by James Cameron.
That is incredible.
Yeah, he was great. He gave us, like, the blessing. So
Have you and Arnie conversed about this? Have you and Schwarzenegger?
Oh, no. Why once not? I found out that I was doing the True Lies TV show, I swore to never do the accent again out of respect for the man. I'll never do it.
Did you used to do it?
All the time.
Who didn't, right?
Who didn't?
Of course.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like
no matter his films. You didn't reach out to him or have somebody?
What? Are you crazy?
I don't know. I would have
reached out to him.
Yeah.
I'm horrified that he even is aware of it. Keep it away from, like,
why?
Because he's an icon and I grew up with him.
Okay.
I saw Conan in the theater. I saw Terminator in the theater.
Yeah.
I saw True Lies in the theater.
Yes.
And now I'm doing, like, his role in, like, the TV show version.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they knew I wasn't an Austrian bodybuilder.
They hired you anyway.
They hired me anyway.
Right.
Not as, you know, swole, little taller, but, you know, it's a blessing. It's a dream come true. We had so much fun. Fantastic. The cast is awesome. I hope people tune in and like it.
So, am I wrong to say that I believe Schwarzenegger's best movie is The Running Man? Am I off on that?
Wow. You just like Men in Tights.
No. You know, Jesse Ventura, when he was the body, not yet the mind.
Yes.
He was in it.
They were all in it.
Jim Brown was in it.
Jim Brown was in it?
Yes, of course. Jim Brown was in it. Richard Dawson playing the evil game show host.
Yes.
Maria Conchita Alonso. Let's not forget her.
Brilliant movie.
It is brilliant.
They tried to remake it. They tried to do it.
I don't know how you're going to do that.
You couldn't do it because of the technology.
But they're redoing True Lies.
Fantastic, They tried to do Total Recall.
Nope.
Yep, nope.
I got it. So, well, congratulations on this.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. I watch your show. It's really cool to be here.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate you saying that.
Yeah, great show.
Thank you for saying that. I appreciate it. Let's jump into your basketball career.
Oh.
Put it up, Mr. Hoskins. Who is this young man from Northeastern Junior College?
It's
in Sterling, Colorado.
Whoa!
Who is number 44 in your program?
Yo, look at those socks.
Number one in your heart. Well, the socks meet the shorts.
Look at those socks. I got to be honest with
you. I don't know what's going on with the knee highs. What are we looking at, Steve Howie?
We have here? We're looking at a dude who wore 44. Huh. I played shooting guard.
Okay.
On offense, yeah. And I played power forward on defense.
Oh, so you had the sharp elbows? Is that what you're doing?
I had low center gravity, and I would take dudes' knees out.
Look at you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, but what is with the knee highs on the Northeastern basketball team?
That was the look.
Okay.
That was it. 90, what was it, 7?
Okay.
98?
Yeah, that was a look back then.
That was it.
Keith Van Horn.
Yep. It was all. It was.
Were you the Keith Van Horn of this team, Steve Howard?
I wouldn't call. No.
So
I was not.
What's the most you've ever scored in a game? When did you? Give me the one time where Steve Howie took things over, and lit up the scoreboard.
Well, yeah, I started when I was a freshman in high school.
Okay,
and so I was like really, you know, it was like my dad was freaked out that I wasn't going to go to college, and he was like, I liked basketball, and he's like, you're going to get a scholarship. And I was like, okay. So he put me in all these things, moved in my senior year, went to this junior college, had aspirations to go to another university after the 2 years.
Yes.
And I just couldn't do it anymore. I worked out so much. Myoplex just came out, this protein powder. I was trying. And there was a dude on my team named Fat Man. Devon Ford, and he was anything but. He was an Adonis. He had an 8-pack,
mm-hmm.
8 Twizzlers. That's it. He would dunk in socks. He would go down the floor and shoot a 3. And while the ball was in the air, he would call out our full court defense,
knowing that
he would shoot it and go 4-4, and he would turn around on his defender, and he was like, "Bro, what are you doing?" And then the ball would swish. He just couldn't hold a number 2 pencil to save his life. I mean, the dude was amazing, but he did play overseas. He did play overseas, and if he sees that, I'm sorry, bro. That's just a joke. It's not true. But we weren't academic scholars because we were at a junior college.
You're at the JC level.
So there was some you know, street dudes there.
But and that's some serious competition. I understand it's not D1, but junior college.
For real.
There's some people who could play.
Because they all play D1 afterwards.
Sure.
Because they get 2 years of experience, then the school doesn't have to pay the full ride.
And they kick it up.
Yep.
And so when you showed up to the 2004 NBA Celebrity All-Star Contest, you brought some game with you, is what you're saying. I mean, I could see.
Do you see?
You had the towel on your head.
Oh,
what are we on here? Number 13.
You really did it, huh?
Oh,
you
yeah.
Really, you got pictures.
Come
your staff
on, Steve,
got pictures.
Steve, it's called Getty Images. It's not like it's difficult, but I mean.
Where did you get these?
There you are.
Google?
It's
okay, you see the towel on the head?
Yes.
So Bill Laimbeer called me the Shaw of Reba because I was on the Reba McEntire show during that time. Shaw of Reba. Look at Steve Howe. That's not Bill Laimbeer. Bill Walton.
Oh, Bill Walton, yeah.
Bill Laimbeer.
Bill Laimbeer, by the way, do you know he has a history here in Hollywood, Bill Laimbeer?
What do you mean?
Bill Laimbeer was one of the Sleestaks from Land of the Lost. fact.
Wow.
Before he went into his basketball career, they used his height to be, you know, I might be dating myself with Land of the Lost. I'm a 53-year-old man. But there are credits where you see William Lambier on the end of Land of the Lost. When I was on a Saturday morning kid sitting there in Staten Island seeing the Sleestaks, not knowing I would despise one of the gentlemen inside that outfit once he got to Detroit to play basketball to prevent my New York Knicks from going anywhere. But that said, you showed up at the All-Star game. Bill Walton was calling you the Shaw of Reba.
Yeah.
Now it makes sense that it's Walton instead of Lambier. But Ashton Kutcher was your coach? Is that what I'm to understand?
For the day. For the day. He just,
what
I
was
mean,
it like
he
playing in this All-Star game in 2004 in Los Angeles?
He didn't have the care to put on a uniform.
Yeah, he had
not the love of basketball. Look at that. He's wearing, yeah, man, look at that. Frankie Muniz, Bill Bellamy in the house.
Look at you and Michael Rapaport right next to him.
Is that Shaggy?
Yes, it is.
Wow.
It is Shaggy. What about Kevin
that's
Hart?
That's Sean Paul.
This Kevin Hart right
Sean
there.
Sean Paul?
I think that's Sean Paul.
Is it?
I can't next tell. To Lisa, I
next to, in front of Richard Jefferson?
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, next to Mark McGrath.
Richard Jefferson.
And there's Kevin Hart. So you played hoops with Kevin?
Kevin. Yeah, Kevin, I was sitting on a couch of his, and this was 18 years ago.
Okay.
And he looked at me and he said, I'm going to be the biggest thing in the world. And I was like, all right, man, whatever. And then our lives just went, and like, yeah, we played Kevin, Snoop, who I was just in a movie in, Day mm-hmm. Shift, at the NBA E-League. That was good times. We played at Crossroads High School every Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Brian McKnight would light me up. Brian McKnight, the R&B singer?
Yeah,
he's mean.
What do you mean?
Oh, he's mean. That dude's ruthless. He would just talk. Can I cuss?
Probably not.
He would just talk mad smack.
Brian McKnight.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he would just like dart a three in your eye.
And then curse you out while doing it.
No, he would just quietly smooth it. I liked it kind of. Because he's smooth and he had game. And then, but I had like, I'm way more comfortable as an actor. Mm-hmm. Than I ever was as a hooper.
Okay.
My ego, because my body couldn't do what my mind and soul wanted.
Look at you.
And so now that I'm an actor, we are all as one.
By the way, which is the most Bill Walton thing I think anyone can say.
It's the greatest.
If we had just written down what you just said and have him read it, the mind and the body couldn't do what my heart was saying, and then I became an actor.
That's
and
so
now
good.
It's all one.
It's so good. He's the best. He's still doing it.
Do you watch, I don't know, every now and then on the NBA League Pass, Walton does his version of the Manning cast on football. Him and Jason Benetti are doing like, he just sits there. And the game's coming down to the last second, and you see the game on the right, and he's sitting there just talking about Mount Kilimanjaro is one of the most beautiful mountains to climb. As somebody's like shooting a three to try and win a game at the buzzer.
Look, if you can do a show while on acid, it's commendable. I mean, I think that we should like praise this man and give him his flowers because he's on ayahuasca and doing a show at the same time.
Ayahuasca was a guy who used to shoot an incredible hook shot. Steve Howie here on the Rich Eisen Show from True Lies, which is on tonight.
Tonight.
10 Eastern, CBS. Every single Wednesday on CBS. Are you from Texas? Is that where you're from? Or
Paramount Plus.
Sorry.
It's on there too.
I was born in San Antonio
and
then grew up in SoCal.
Okay. So do you have a specific team? Any teams that you root for? Anything like that? Or no, not really?
No, man. Like, you know,
a nomad?
I like, yeah.
Okay.
I like the Cowboys just because my brother was a fan forever.
Okay. All right.
You know, UCLA, USC was always fun.
Okay.
You know, I've hooped with the O'Bannons. Remember them?
Of course.
Yeah. So that's some camp. So that was cool.
Hooping with the O'Bannons sounds like a great TV show, by the way, as
hooping
well.
With the O'Bannons. Well,
you've done it. Fantastic.
If it's too much work, I don't want, I'll just hire me and tell me what I have to memorize. I stand here. Let's do it. I do that. I love acting.
Yes.
But once they say action, mm-hmm. and then right when they say cut, I'm like, ugh, what do we do now?
Can't go back to the real world.
Yeah. But this show that True Lies at Wednesday.
Yes.
10 9 o'clock. Central.
Yeah, tonight.
Tonight on CBS and Paramount Plus.
Yes.
Was one of the hardest things I've ever done and one of the most enjoyable.
Okay. Why not?
It was just, you know, careful what you wish for because you just might get it.
Yeah, yeah.
This action stunt thing, give it to the stunt people. They're a different breed. They want to do it,
mm-hmm.
and then they know they're going to get hurt, and they still do it. I didn't know that. I didn't know stunts meant hurt, pain, broken. I pulled my left quadricep. Snapped my finger back and broke that.
What the hell?
I hurt my back. I went to the, I'm going to name drop right now.
Go for it.
But I went to the John Wick 4 premiere, which is the most insane stunt movie I've ever seen. Keanu Reeves is an alien. And it's relentless. Just go see it. It's awesome. I was sitting next to Bob Odenkirk.
Okay.
And he did Nobody with the same kind of stunt team.
Right.
And I told, or I was telling him, and he's like, yeah, no. He's like, let the stunt guy do it. And I'm like, yeah, well, I didn't know that. I wanted to do it. I wanted to do the stunt. So this True Lies was really cool because it was the first time that I really got to do all my stunts. Not all.
Right.
The stunt guys were amazing. They go through real glass. I didn't know if you knew that.
Real glass?
Real glass.
How about that?
And the thicker the glass, like this wall,
yes.
They'll charge it with an explosive.
Oh.
So it shatters right, but they land on real glass. Every time they come up, bleeding, cut. Didn't know that.
I didn't know that either. Now I do know that. These are all true. These are not true lies. These are true truths right here.
Lying truthfully.
So you did all your stunts in Shameless?
Yeah. Is this...
You look good, man.
Insecure.
You're fine. What are you insecure about? It's so funny. Before we come on the air and he's like, Doing something with his hair. No, he did something with your hair,
CBS
and I'm like,
"I love this."
No, I said, "Boy, I would love to have whatever problem you think you're having right now."
Yeah, for real.
No, I know. The thing is, though, is I'm on the off season. You know, we had a good season. I'm in the off season now. Once I get back into preseason.
Okay, that's when you're going to get for season two. Have we been picked up yet? What do we do?
Your mouth to God's ears.
Okay,
I don't. Good. You know.
All right, you were in hell of a run on Shameless, though.
11 seasons.
You must get that all the time, walking around and walking about, right?
And then 6 seasons of Reba before that.
Right.
And so now I have parents and their kids.
Coming up to you.
Yeah, like, not kids, like young kids, but like 20-year-olds. I call 20-year-olds kids.
Who comes up to you and talks to you about Shameless?
Some of the smartest people I've ever met in my life. Like, really, like, cool people.
Right.
They're like, I was standing in line at the Grammys. Mm-hmm. And this kid was like, oh, man, hey, I really liked your show, Shameless. You're one of my favorite characters. And I was like, oh, cool, man. Thank you so much. Who are you? What's your name? He's like, oh, hey, I'm Steve Lacy. And I'm like, Steve Lacy, the musician? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, dude, I have your song in my phone. I'm so sorry. I didn't know. He's like, oh, no, it's fine. So gracious and humble.
Okay.
Yeah. And people really loved that show because I think Shameless, they were, you either feel better about the way you were raised watching that show or you relate to it so well that you're like, that's my life. And so it's a win-win situation.
It works on all different levels.
Yeah.
Well, I know you want to ask him a question about Shameless.
Oh, DJ? Well, yeah, just a question, but you know, I was a big fan and I think maybe it's because you see a lot of TV shows, right, with family life. But I feel like Shameless, I think there's a lot more people closer to having that type of life than some of the, you know, the pretty stuff, the kumbaya stuff that we see. I think probably a lot more relatable. I mean, Frank is hard to relate to. You would hope that no one has a father like him, but... I think family-wise, you know, this family's always struggling and trying to make it, and they're always getting right there but not getting there. And I think that was just relatable for a lot of people.
And you know what it was, though?
And you and V, your relationship, that was just
an angel.
That was a great relationship. Chanel
Hampton, she's got a new show.
So what do you think it is, then?
What you were saying, it was the writing. You know, the writer is everything. And John Wells, one of the smartest people I've ever met in my life.
Well, he's a legend.
It was his show. It took him 8 years to get Shameless from the UK to the States.
Uh-huh.
And it was so worth it because it was his family. it was just brilliant. The writing was so good, and everybody was on book, and it was like, you're on book. You got the word is the thing. It's chiseled in stone. And I went to John and I was like, can I improv some stuff? And he was like, I don't care what you say as long as it tells the story. And I was like, oh wow, okay. But my improvs were never as good. Sometimes I would improv a lot, depending on what it was. His words were always better.
Huh. Well, that's the way it works out.
Yeah.
You got a good William Macy story?
I mean, yeah.
I don't know. Just give me what you got.
So he was in Wild Hogs. He rides. I have a Harley, and another actor on the show in that first second season was Justin Chatwin. He rides Harleys. So Bill's like, we need to do a ride. Shameless Riders. And I was like, all right. So we rode from L.A. to Aspen, Colorado. But we first went to San Francisco. But that L.A. to Aspen,
yes,
was like we saw each other in a different light. And I remember just being in this thing like wind rash and road driven. And we go into this nice place because Bill's bougie and he stays at nice places. And he's like, we might be riding Harleys, but we're staying in nice places. And I was like, you're doing it.
He's not shameless.
So we went into this really nice place and we dropped our stuff off, went into the restaurant and we're going to sit down and no one's there. But Justin comes in and I go, what is that? What is that smell? And he's like, oh, I felt like I stunk. So I put some cologne on. And I'm like, dude, we're on Harleys. You know what I mean? I can't smell that. This is olfactory rape. I need to have my nostrils so I can taste the food. I was like, dude, no, I'm sitting over here. And I sat on the table and Bill's like, we're sitting together. We're sitting together. And I go, no, I can't smell him. He's like, should I go take a shower then? Or he's like, sorry, dude. And I was like, and I was just hungry and hangry and me. And Bill's like, we're sitting together. Guys, we're sitting together. And he slammed his hand. He says, we're sitting together. And we looked at Bill. Me and Justin looked at Bill and went, oh, it's the first time he like let it out. And so we're all like, we're sitting together. So Justin goes out and he's bathing. There's a campfire out there. He's bathing in the smoke to try to get the cologne away. He comes. I know. We're just a bunch of actors. These just like tools. And so we come out, had a great dinner, but that I love real raw emotion. And Bill's such a shy guy. He's brilliant. He's a brilliant mind.
Yes.
And when he would come into set and he'd be like, hello, hello, how's everybody doing? And action, you know, and they would go into Frank and we would do scenes and then it would be my cue for my line. And I would go, oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Let's go again. I was watching him. I would watch him.
Yeah.
I would just be behind the bar, just watching him.
And you'd miss your.
I'd totally
in your own world
because I'm listening to what he was saying.
Yeah.
Because it was so brilliant. He was a great mentor. Reba was a great mentor. John Wells was a great mentor. I was very lucky to have amazing, smart people that were kind and decent, and you know.
Pretty cool, man. Pretty cool. And Steve, congrats again on True Lies.
Thank
airs
you.
Tonight, every Wednesday, 10 Eastern on CBS. Don't forget the Paramount Plus portion of it. Certainly here on Roku. Check it out with Steve Howie, at Steve Howie on Twitter and Instagram. Come back anytime, brother.
Thank you.
Appreciate what you said about being here on the program.
No, this show's great.
Thanks,
you guys
pal.
Got a great thing going on.
Thanks, pal. Really appreciate it. Steve Howie here on the Rich Eisen Show. Jets and Clippers news. Uh-oh, that means we hear about Paul George.
Oh, no.
That's coming up next.
PG.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
Rich Eisen Show Radio Network back with our live Roku channel stream. Sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. All right, I guess Brockman's got a little something for the rest of us. It's like
something.
Festivus.
Oh. All right, what do we want first? Do we want Jets news or
let's give Clipper news because I'm sure he wants to know about Paul George first. What do you got?
All right, according to Adrian Wojnarowski, after some imaging today, Paul George sprained right knee, reevaluated in 2 to 3 weeks, expected to be out the rest of the regular season. That's 9 more games. But timeline for a possible return in the playoffs will be clearer when he's reevaluated.
Actually, sprain, that's the best case scenario.
That means it's a little tear.
A little teeny tiny, maybe?
A little tiny. I was expecting the worst. I
think he's going to have to play through some soreness, though, in the playoffs.
Where are the Clippers right now? Do we have the standings?
We're in fifth right now.
Where are you right now?
I believe in fifth.
But in the West, 2-3 straight losses can put you right in the play-in tournament. So the Clippers are 38-35.
Game up on the Warriors.
Look at the Warriors getting out of the play-in tournament right now.
That's huge for them.
And then there's the Thunder having just beaten the Clippers last night. That was a big W. Mm-hmm. And
look,
so
all 4 playing teams, a half game.
Wow.
It's
and
wild.
The Lakers are just a half game out of the play-in tournament, tied with the Pelicans. The Blazers are out. I mean,
yeah,
I think I think he was right about that. And then there were the Suns still in a home playoff position despite Durant being out. They don't have Ayton tonight. Mm-hmm. He's missing his second straight game, not just for the Suns, but for
for your
the defending champion fantasy basketball team for at least 5 more days. okay, so I mean, it's Kawhi time, huh?
Yeah.
Who's going to step up? Is it
Kawhi's going to step up? T-Man's going to have to step up. You know, Batum. Hopefully Norman Powell, he's been out since...
How about a little Bones Highland? How about we roll a little Bones Highland?
Bones Highland hasn't really been getting a lot of runs.
So maybe.
You know, Russ is playing great. He's figuring out his role on the team. And the one thing about Russell Westbrook that you obviously can't teach hustle. You can't teach effort. And you watch this guy out there, and I've seen him get so many baskets just on the strength of Russ.
Just pushing the, action,
pushing the action.
Yeah,
right. Going for balls.
As you know, it unfortunately leads to turnovers on occasion or bad threes or something like that. But I think it's now that Paul George is out for the rest of the regular season, pretty huge that Russ was just sitting there on the street for them to go sign.
Yeah. And like I said, sprain 2 to 3 weeks gives you hope that he can make it back.
He's going to come back.
Yeah.
Now what?
Now what?
This is great news for you, actually.
Oh, what do you got?
Great news. You like wide receivers? Do you like fast wide receivers?
Don't tell me Odell Beckham Jr.
Like
is choosing the Jets.
Super Bowl winning receiver.
You're not telling me.
Shut up.
What do you got for
the
me?
The Jets 1-year deal with Mecole Hardman.
Oh, okay.
$6.5 million.
Oh, I like that a lot.
He tried to play you a little bit on that.
Hey.
Hardman's good.
Make fun of this as
you I'm not.
No, make fun of what I'm about to say.
Oh, yeah.
I was disappointed they lost Braxton Berrios to Miami. I thought, oh, God, here we go. Braxton Berrios is going to be one of those guys that McDaniel is going to scheme open, and sure, he's going to run for days. And he's going to run for passes, days, yeah, and he's going to beat the Jets. And I was disappointed about that. I like this move a lot.
Yeah, he's good.
You know who probably likes it a lot, too?
A lot of Jet sweeps.
Next quarterback of the New York Jets probably likes it.
Lamar Jackson?
Nope.
Well, can we get Mike?
No.
White on the phone?
Everybody keep having fun. He's coming.
Who's he?
Same intensity.
Joe Namath?
Same he.
Same intensity.
You got it, buddy.
This fall.
More likely to make the Pro Bowl, Aaron Rodgers or Mac Jones?
Mac Jones. Because Rodgers will decline the invitation. For 2 reasons. One,
he's
playing in the Super Bowl.
Here we go.
Or 2, it's because he's been there, done that.
Back to the darkness?
He doesn't need to be part of the Omaha Productions, drill fest. He doesn't need to stand there in Vegas and try and hit a target 30 yards away. He doesn't need to do that. So Matt can do that as the fifth alternate for the Patriots team that misses because Aaron Rodgers is coming to sweep the Patriots this year for the Jets.
No chance.
Okay.
Oh. No chance.
Same intensity.
Mecole
Hardman is a nice pickup.
Yeah, he's nice. It's a good one.
So
the Falcons wanted him.
Lazard and Hardman and Wilson. I don't know what's going to happen with Elijah Moore.
That's what I was just about to ask.
There's no reason to trade him, though. He's on his rookie deal. The second round pick. There's no reason. You could work him in.
I mean, he's pissed last year. He's not getting any targets.
Guess what? He's going to get targets. He's really good.
Well, from where? When?
From Aaron Rodgers. When he arrives. When he's going to arrive because he's coming.
Elijah Moore's trending right now.
I want everybody to just remember this moment. In time.
All right.
That everybody believes Rodgers isn't coming.
No, I believe he's going.
Okay,
there.
Fine. Or there's something's going to happen, you know. Okay.
If I'm the Packers, I'm trying to get Elijah Moore in that deal.
Say it again?
If I'm the Packers, I'm going to try to get Elijah Moore in the deal then.
You're not going to get anybody in the deal except future picks. Future picks.
Who can't hurt that?
I got to get a human being.
Well, a pick is this a human being, Rich.
With a smile.
Wait till we get D-Hop this week.
Stop it. That's not happening. You know that's not happening.
Okay. Same intensity. C.J. Stroud is currently on NFL Network right now. Talking about the Patriots staff, Panthers staff meeting them. It's nice that they came out. Nice meeting him. By the way, wait to everybody if you haven't seen yet all the video of all the Panthers going, staff and crew dapping him up. It's coming tomorrow as well.
I'd say in 24 hours, it's going to be
Stroud said he
Young.
Didn't talk with the Panthers much about the particulars of football. It was mostly about getting to know him as a person. That's good to know.
Getting to know
him. We have
you.
A real estate agent recommendation for Charlotte.
Get it. Get it. I hear you. And I totally understand why you're saying it and why everyone's saying it now. Bryce Young's going to throw tomorrow, folks. And it's going to flip the script. It's going to flip the script.
Until Monday.
Daniel Jeremiah has pegged Bryce Young as the first overall selection of the draft. What, you don't think the Teppers are going to go to Alabama and meet Bryce Young,
that's
too?
What I, that's what I mean. They're going to go on to Tallahassee on Monday. It's going to be, you know, a week of this.
Meet the kids.
As they should.
Meet the kids. Very good. Thanks to Steve Howie and Mike Florio and Kyle Brandt. That wraps up this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. We will chat with you on Thursday and wrap up this Wednesday show on the Roku channel in a sec.